churches that follow the church calendar, on this Sunday called Epiphany, the readings that you heard that from the beginning of worship until now are our typical Epiphany readings that start with Isaiah in chapter 60, verses 1 through 9, that you remember we heard and responded to as we gathered and called ourselves to worship. It is there that God begins to reveal God's light, not just to the Jews, but to the whole world. As he speaks through the prophet Isaiah, he tells them, "Nations shall come to your light. Nations shall come to your light." And then as he continues on, he says, "They shall be acceptable on my altar." Now, if we think about it, that's a very bold statement that Isaiah is making. And if we don't pay attention to what Isaiah is saying at that point, the Jewish altar, there were rules of what was clean and what was unclean and what could be put on that altar in order to worship the Lord. But here, as Isaiah is speaking God's word to them, he tells them they will bring an abundance of gold and frankincense and flocks and rams and creatures of the sea and the wealth of the nations, and all of these will be acceptable on my altar. So the light begins to shine upon not just Israel, but all nations. So that the scope of God's salvation is not just for one nation, but for the world. And maybe for us to understand that, we could learn from a gentleman by the name of Craig Larson. He had one of those coffee tables that had those coffee table books. How many of you get coffee table books for Christmas or your birthday? You know, those big books that only look good on the coffee table and then you just don't know what to do with them. Well, he had one of photography. And when he opened it to the Grand Tetons, it was one of those panoramic views. And it went from the left page through the binding into the right page, and it showed the majesty of those mountains and a calm lake in the foreground. And then as he went to turn to see the next picture, he noticed that the page had been folded. And so he had to open it up again to a third panel. And the panel then expanded his view of the Grand Tetons. And he says, God's glory is very much like this. It continually unfolds before us, unveiled and revealed in God's time. And he speaks about how God reveals his glory to Abraham when Abraham's 78, to Moses when Moses is 80, and to Paul on that road to Damascus. And when people encounter God, there is a new world, a new view that is open before them, and we see the world in a whole different light. But as I was reading this, I saw with new eyes. I saw it through the eyes of the prophet Isaiah, how the people of Israel had heard that God would find acceptable on his altars food and gifts from other nations, food considered unclean by Levitical laws, that their worldview was expanded to include other nations. But God's light's also revealed to the world, as we heard in Matthew, through the flesh and bone and blood of a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. And through a star in the east that told people not of the tribes of Israel, that the king of the Jews had been born. And I love the line in the scriptures, when they saw that star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. They were overwhelmed with joy because they knew where that star shone its light, there was the promise of a new king. And then they're warned in a dream not to return to Herod. So they leave from a different way. So again, they receive a different revelation of God's light through a different source, through a dream, and move on. So Sometimes we have to interpret those signs and those lights to help us understand how God's light is shining in upon our world. And Gary Preston was a young man. This was before we had cell phones and GPS and texting ability and even some of the other forms of telephones that we used to dial. You know, the only way we communicated quickly was through telegraph. And Gary Preston went to get his job as a telegraph interpreter. And he walked into the room, much like people are today are walking into the room looking for jobs, and it's lined with people, and he's thinking, I'll never get this job. I was the last one in. Fills out the application. In the meantime, there's this all going on in the background. The room's absolutely silent as everybody's waiting to be called. And suddenly Gary Preston gets up and walks in the room, and they're all thinking, boy, he's pretty bold to walk in when he's not invited. And shortly thereafter, he comes out with all those who had interviewed him, and they say, thank you much for applying. The job has been filled. And they all looked around, and someone was bold enough to say, what do you mean the job's been filled? We weren't invited in for an interview. And then they heard this. The man said, you know, you heard in the background, well, it was the telegraph, and this was its message. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. God uses many means to shine God's light into the world. Burning bushes, talking donkeys, hungry creatures of the sea, visiting angels, a bright star in the darkened sky, or a dream. We need only be alert to these signs, then follow as we are directed to the light, or to share that light. The wise men could have returned and shared with Herod what they found, but instead they followed the message they received and went by another way. And then finally we come to Ephesians. As God's light has been moving through the course of time, and God's course has been revealed a little bit more and a little bit more by each revelation, we have Paul speaking to us about the mystery that has been made known to him by revelation. The mystery that God's message of salvation isn't just for Jews, but for Gentiles as well. That the scope of the light has become even broader than they expected. And Paul's words shine out to me on this covenant Sunday. Of this gospel I have become a servant. Of this gospel I have become a servant. That Paul is not a servant of anything else but the gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't serve the church. He serves his Lord and Savior through the church. And to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. He's reminding us that we are called as the light bearers to share that, to share the plan of the mystery hidden for ages. And he speaks further about it. He says, through the church, the wisdom of God is in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. He speaks of our professions of faith, either through our words or our actions, not only being important to one another, but important to the rulers of the world, to the principalities of the world. That when we choose to shine God's light in the world, God's love in the world, through how we live and breathe, the world will be changed, and the authorities and the powers and the principalities will take notice. Just a couple more stories. Billy Graham, and we all know his great evangelical power, even felt it was important in a sound check. That whenever he would speak anywhere, as he would go to his mic and get a sound check, he would give John 3:16. And when someone asked him why, he said, well, my message might not be clear to the crowds that day. But to the cameraman, he'll get it. That even in the littlest thing we do, such as a sound check or maybe a call to a friend, when we proclaim the gospel message of hope and salvation, the light gets brighter in the world. And when we wonder about it in a grander scale, I don't know if any of you know of Olaf Tryggvason. How many of you know Olaf Tryggvason? You don't know him. He was a Norwegian Viking. And he raided France, and he reminds me a little bit of Paul persecuting the Jews, because he raided France and raided Holland and came to England, and he was raiding with fire and sword and killing and pillaging. And finally, England said, "We've had enough. How much to make you stop?" And so they give him money to make him stop. But while working out that deal, he hears of a prophet. So he singles out this holy man, and he gets told that he will be a great king one day and do celebrated deeds. But before that, his men will mutiny him. He will be wounded, and he'll be allow himself to be baptized as a Christian and bring many to faith for his own good and for the good of others. And it all happened just as the prophet said. So he returned to the prophet and he says, "How did you know that my men were going to mutiny?" And the prophet's reply was, "The God of the Christians has blessed me with the gift of prophecy." So Olaf was baptized, returned to Norway, and began converting others to Christianity. Following his conversion, and then over the next 200 years, Norway became more unified and a Christian nation, and remained that way for over 1,000 years. What bothered me a little bit was remain that way for over 1,000 years. There seemed to be an ending coming to this light that was shining upon this nation. So I had to look a little bit further into the statistics from the Pew Forum. And it says today that a third of adults under 30 are religiously unaffiliated. 30% of those under 30 are religiously unaffiliated. And furthermore, the unaffiliated say they are not looking for a religion that would be right for them. Overwhelmingly, they think that religious organizations are too concerned with money and power, too focused on rules, and too involved in politics and policies. We have forgotten the mystery of God. We have forgotten what makes an epiphany, that awe moment when God strikes in upon our lives. We've forgotten it so that we don't even teach it anymore. There were some Laotian Christians in California who were learning about God and Christ, and the teacher was teaching them about Jesus when he stilled the storm. And they were having a hard time understanding the stilling of the storm. So the teacher downplays it and says, "You know, like those storms in our lives that come and go, and we need Christ to get us through them." And then one of the Laotians speaks to him and says, "You know, if this Jesus can calm the wind and calm the sea, he must be a powerful man. He must be a powerful man." The Laotian got it. The teacher had lost it. Brothers and sisters, have we lost the mystery of faith? Have we lost what happens when we offer the prayer of consecration over these elements to understand that Christ is present here with us in this moment? Have we lost the mystery of knowing that that baby in Bethlehem was the Savior of the world? There was a new movie out this Christmas about these guardians, and it was all about the fairy tale figures. And Winter asked Jack Frost, "What is his center?" And Winter goes on to say that my center is wonder. And I sat there and I ate, because all these people watching this movie, the center of wonder and awe and beauty and love should be Jesus Christ, and proclaimed by a Christian, not by a man proclaiming to be Santa Claus. That we have generations who will be more awed by the wonder of Christmas as a man in a red suit than wonder and awe by the baby in a manger. The miracle of Christmas is something of a mystery, something we cannot understand until we step into it. And the world will continue to be in deep darkness if we allow its message to be the only message everyone hears. The only message those unaffiliated hear. Don't be afraid to reveal the light of Jesus Christ, the light of God, into the world. The only way the world will know peace is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.